Attention, citizens! It's time for Super Pulp Science!
This is Super Pulp Science, where we talk about how genre gets made. I am GMB Kamichuk, a working illustrator and writer, interested in telling you all the things I regularly get wrong. Joining me today, my long-suffering co-host, Justin Curry, known the world over as Chasing Artwork, our co-conspirator, Dr. Jonathan Ball, and Lyndon Rodchenka, writer and creative powerhouse, soon to eclipse all three of us in one fell swoop. Gentlemen, it has come to my attention that a year ago, on this date,
Not even close
to this date.
It's been a month of this date.
It's even more than that, date. Yeah. A month and a bit.
With the accuracy that we've come to expect from the dates and times of this podcast, sometime around now, last year, we tried to hold ourselves accountable by doing a year-end review as we approach December and the cold months and New Year's just around the corner. We talked about what we had done with our time and what we planned on doing with our time as creatives, and we sent ourselves little messages in the bottle. Dear listener, we'll figure out a way to name in our show notes that podcast so it's easy for you to find it. But a year ago, we made lists about what we were going to do, and now it's time to be held accountable. All of us present have listened to that episode and heard what we said to ourselves. Some of us with some chagrin. Looking at you, Jonathan. Let's just ask the very simple question. Do we think that was a good idea?
Did anybody get done their list? Did anybody accomplish the things that they wanted to accomplish?
Our lists were...
Fully or partially?
I think, like...
We all partially did it, right?
Yeah, sure.
But none of us really didn't check all the check boxes off.
Nobody checked every box the way we wanted. Lyndon, hold on. Lyndon, who, by the way, this was his idea in the first
place.
Wasn't
the point of that episode to look at the non-straight trajectory of an artistic career?
Yeah,
how it's predictable it is.
How it is a winding path, and you have to make the path by walking it. Definitely true.
At the same time, you know, of course, part of the whole exercise is to try to straighten that path as much as you can. But it has been, I don't know about you guys, but for me in particular, it's just been a chaotic year.
So let's, for structure's sake, we can't assume that anyone listening to this episode cares to go back a whole year and listen. Let's just start with that as an opening premise. And so let's just say, for the dear listener, what we did was we made lists for ourselves, and we spoke to ourselves to hold ourselves accountable for things we had done, hoped we would do, and now we've looked at that list and found there are some things that didn't go according to plan. So I think to structure this conversation in a way that's useful not only to us, but to the listener, let's operate from the premise that making a plan is useful, following a plan is difficult, and not everyone who makes a plan and tries to follow it succeeds on every step creatively. Mm-hmm. So if we think about it constructively in that way, let's first share...
It makes it seem like not as much of a failure. I like that.
That's right. Yes, I'm trying to give you space not to be such enormous failures. Let's first talk about some things we're proud of, right, that don't require the context of a previous episode. You can sum it up as briefly as is possible for you. A project that you did last year, this past year, that you were proud of, and maybe a way in which it didn't quite turn out as planned, but you stuck the landing anyway.
So if I recall, Lyndon went first in the previous podcast.
Yes.
So I think Lyndon should
go
first.
It's only fair that we make him go first. Great.
But I thought we could do it reverse order this time.
Yeah, right.
No? Okay. Something that went really well in 2023 was the launch of Stephen and I's new book.
You're going to see your wedding.
The wedding was fine. The wedding was okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Something that went well that I talked that I had said I hope will go well was Stephen and I ran a Kickstarter for The Laundryman. That book came out. The Kickstarter was successful. I have no complaints about how that turned out.
So you wrote and with your collaborator had illustrated a complete graphic novel length collection of comics called The Laundryman. It's sitting now on our bookshelf with its wonderful gold foil, and you did it. You had planned to do it. You did it. You fulfilled. Hooray.
Correct. Yeah. And the finished product of that book has or will open up future doors for me going forward.
Safe to say, has.
Has, sure. Yep.
Definitely has.
Yep.
Good finished work opens doors.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
All right. What about you, Justin? What's something that you're proud of? We'll talk about all our failures. Don't worry, dear listener. We'll put those in a pile in front of you in a second.
So my big thing that I talked about in the last podcast was my next book, Spark Chasers, which is set in a particular style called isometric. And this is basically just a top-down fixed perspective that a lot of video games use, especially classic video games. So if you think of like Pokemon and Zelda on the Game Boy, if you think of Chrono Trigger, if you think of some of the Final Fantasies, the camera doesn't move. It's a set perspective down. And the reason video games did that is because you can take items from the front of the screen and move them to the back, and they don't have to be redesigned or resized. They stay the same size, and then they reuse assets all through the game. So I'm building a book using this kind of style, using this engine, and I didn't get as much of the book done this year as I hoped. But
and by hoped, you had said you'd be finished by
now. No, I said I'd be at least close to finished. But here's what I did. Here's what I did instead. I was able to turn a whole bunch of client work into isometric
work. Oh, that's true, yeah.
So I didn't get as many pages of Spark Chasers done this year as I'd like to, but I got so much art done that accomplish goals in other places. One of them is a huge mural at a kid's hospital. Another is a desk mat that's going to be launched by a big keyboard company. I basically tricked 7 clients into letting me do isometric work so I could do work for them and then get that great opportunity and then use it in my book project. So I have been circling the castle of Spark
Chasers. Yeah, so I want to ask a follow-up question related to that. Was this because you wanted to refine and hone your skills and by then offering it to a client in the pitch to say, oh, one thing I could do is do it as an isometric. You knew then you'd build assets that would be yours to reuse as necessary?
Not only that, but for that client, I have a bunch of assets that I've built for the book and for other clients that I can use in their project.
Right.
So suddenly what looks like, 100 hours of work was only 20 hours of work because all those little assets were built for other projects,
right,
or the book.
It was the Chasing Artwork Lego set.
Yes. Yeah.
Just to clarify for people listening, and as I understand, what's happening here is you built basically a image that you can take apart and you can reskin at it.
Yeah.
It's not like you got Mickey Mouse. You didn't do Mickey Mouse, but as an example, it's not like you build Mickey Mouse for a client and now you're going to use Mickey Mouse. The thing gets reconstructed. It won't even be recognizable necessarily.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, for example, I did a huge Mario Bowser's Castle and Peach Castle. It's this big isometric stuff with all the, the Goombas and Mario and Luigi and everybody hidden throughout. And there's the classic question mark gold boxes that Mario jumps and coins or mushrooms come out of. So that golden box I will make gray so it looks like it's stone or concrete, and I'll get rid of the question mark, and now I have a good cube that
stone
I can
use. Stone block to build out of.
Or, to reference Mario, I'll use a different kind of exclamation mark or something on that. So people who are gamers will recognize, that's a Mario cube, but it's not quite a Mario cube.
Right.
And use that in my book, which is based on video games.
Golf clap. Golf clap.
I like to call that kind of strategy double tasking, where you're doing one thing, but it kind of is at the same time multiple things, which I always think is a brilliant strategy whenever you can pull it off.
Recycling. We call it recycling
at
the studio a lot.
Yeah, or handing in your homework in twice, right?
Yeah, so that has kind of been, listening to the podcast, I thought I'd be much further along in the book, and the book has, to quote Sam Biko, it has been 80% thinking about it, and I have put in a lot of hours towards the book, just they haven't gone directly into the pages yet, so.
Now, is this... also because having watched your other illustration methods, which are also fairly forgiving in that you can,
reusable,
turn ice into sand if you need to, The isometric pages themselves are much more labor intensive to create all the different pieces of. So it's not like you could bash out 15 pages and like, oh, change your mind and do another 15. There's hundreds of more hours related to it. Is that?
So it's almost, if you think about, you're looking at like almost an entire level or a portion of a video game level. So there's a lot of little hidden things. There's a lot of things going on. And starting out, that's very labor intensive. But as I build more assets, I can reuse this chunk of the castle with this chunk of the house and add in this meadow that I used over here and now create what this fourth level from the three previous levels a lot quicker than starting from scratch.
Interesting. So you've turned your greatest defeat into your greatest victory this past year. I want you all to know how much Justin looks like he wants to punch me when I say that.
Part of it though, right, is it's a project that's more ambitious than a project you've done previously, so you just don't know exactly the contours of it. Like that's so much the thing I find. It's not exactly the problem I had, but I've had that problem in the past where it's like I kind of had the ambition.
Yes, let's talk about your problems now, John.
Well, but just before we get to that, though, like, again, this isn't what I did, but like what you often have in, I find, is when you're taking on these more ambitious projects is you're just delusional about the structure of how to pursue that project on a certain level. Like you think it'll be like this other thing you did, but it's not.
Until the rubber hits the road, you really...
Yeah, it's not like you did it before and you can scale, you can plan it out in the same way where, you know, you did and you did it. Like you did Dragon Nanny, which is a, you know, full-length graphic novel and everything, but it's not the same thing.
No.
So you, but you're thinking that as your reference. So you're planning like, oh, it'll take as long as Dragon Nanny or whatever. Maybe you're not thinking that exactly, but that's kind of like how you estimate your time on some level, I find.
Yeah, and the other thing I kind of wanted to end on with this is throughout the, you know, this year, I've chipped away at it here and there. I've been rewriting the script. The excitement for the project has only grown, and I take that as a very, very...
I was going to ask. Right? Okay, that's cool.
Because usually when projects drag on, you're not quite as in love with the idea as you were in the beginning, but that's not the case with this project. Every time I get to build something in isometric, I'm like... filled with this excitement of what's to come. So
like
it's,
Lost Luggage.
Yeah, see, right? there was 8 other books that I was excited about that have taken a back seat for this project.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, what are you proud of, Jonathan?
Yeah, so just to get
we'll talk
to
about
your
shame
thing,
later.
Well, so in terms of what I'm proud of, similar to Linden, I did a Kickstarter. It was a less ambitious Kickstarter, but it was like still, I did this She-Wolf Kickstarter.
That was in 2022.
Yeah, but I fulfilled it, you know, in this 2023. Because it ended what? Was it November sometime it ended?
Early November, 2022.
Yeah, so then, you know, and when did we fulfill it? March, April, something like that. So fulfilling that.
You made good on your promise.
Yeah, so that was a big thing, just, you know, making good on that, going through that process of that. And then the other thing along those sort of lines was, one of my big goals last year was to sort of take the company, Stranger Fiction, and sort of concretize it a bit more as like a company and as a publisher. So doing the Kickstarter was part of that. You know, it made it a bit more real and more of a thing in a certain sense. And then more recently, putting out the first of the two shared world books. So I don't know when this is going to go up, but like what we're going to do soon from the date of recording is have the official launch of the Shared
Book
World
launch,
books.
Yeah.
So this is a book that me and a project that me and Gregory and two other authors, James Gillespie and Chadwick Ginther, we kind of put this project together where we're sort of all working in the same fantasy, sword and sorcery stories set in a shared
world. And
dear
listener, we had promised ourselves last year that we would do this. And so this is a personal victory.
Did we promise
on
the podcast?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so we did. So that, I couldn't remember if we did it on the podcast. But yeah, that was a big, so putting out not just that book, that anthology, but also Chadwick's book, which is, you know, one where I'm more arm's length and really acting like a real publisher on a certain level. Like your Moon Patrol was sort of like that.
Yeah. The difference here is that you aren't falsely representing your abilities as a publisher, nor asking for the lion's share like most publishers do.
Well, let's not even get into that difference, but like just
I think that's
on the fundamental
you should be proud
level.
Of.
But on the fundamental level, like the idea that like Stranger Fiction is, you know, a company that has actually been doing things throughout 2023, and like things that have like, you know, you can go to McNally Robinson and buy the Chad Ginther book that Sherry World put out. Like, to me, that's that is one of the core things that I had wanted to do this year. Like, I wanted to get further along with certain things with the company, but like I think the core things I wanted to do from the company point of view. But you know, the flip side of that, which we, you know, we'll get into later, I guess, after you and go with your successes, I suppose.
Just what
the
I'm proud of.
The flip side of that, the flip side of like this is like, you know, I kind of focus a lot more on the company and a lot less on my personal stuff. So all the personal goals have sort of derailed completely. In part because I made the company the thing on a certain level.
You've created a beast of its own.
Well, I'm in the process of trying to build the beast. It's not enough of a beast right now is the problem on a weird sort of level. But we'll get into that more
hatchling
later.
Hatchling of a monster?
What about, yeah, like if you were putting the monster together, do you think it has a brain? Is it missing the brain or the heart?
It's missing the brain right now.
Yeah, it has a lot of heart.
It's got a lot of heart.
A lot of heart.
But it needs like that brain. Because I'm the brain right now, which is the problem.
I tell you, Carl, this is the last year we throw trash.
Said that last year.
Yeah, but this year I mean it.
You meant it last year.
One of the things we did last year was talk about our individual projects. And more important to me than the individual projects, and one of the things I'm proud of, is that I had promised myself that I would be a good collaborator. A good collaborator is a good contributor, and I would try to contribute as much as I could to each of those projects. I have a number of things on the go, and I think I'm proud of the efforts I made to carry my end of the couch in the majority of those projects. And one of them, which we mentioned as I was listening to it, I had the nascent idea for the project that became Love You to Death. We had just mentioned that it was probably going to happen. We didn't know how it was going to happen. And that was a amazing success that came for us out of nowhere. We had planned a project that was the film, music, art, public display. We didn't care if anyone showed up, and I think that's why it worked. Everyone involved said, post-pandemic, let's make something amazing that if no one shows up, who cares? We will just have the greatest time putting it on. And as a result, we made this Love You to Death, a cinema seance, where we recut three public domain films into 20-minute segments, created completely new content as a result, following that theme. Each of those stories, Metropolis, Nosferatu, and Bride of Frankenstein, recontextualized as someone falls in love with the monster and is destroyed as a result. Then we brought live musicians in. We did a seance. People had to enter through the seance. We had a monster effect, so people came and got their picture taken with a great vampire queen. So we got to play around with this, all these tools in the toolbox that I had previously always wanted to play with, and we put it together, and it worked so much so that we had a meeting yesterday, I can say, for just you, the dear listener, where we have set our date, February 14th, to reprise Love You to Death. We have a number of new tricks under us, up our sleeves, and we cannot wait to make art for art's sake again. So aside from the books, comics, graphic novels, and just like heavy lifting, ditch digging I had to do, I was really proud of trying something that I had no business doing, no experience doing, and no reason to believe would succeed, and just picking the right people and sort of all of us standing in the crucible, it worked out pretty well. So very proud of that.
Can I expand on my first answer?
I was going to expand on your first answer after Justin did. And once he went, so yes, please do.
Well, now that I've had a chance to listen to the thoughtful responses from the three of you, my initial answer feels like a bit of a wet noodle. So I was thinking about what
New business card for Lyndon at the studio.
I was thinking about what I had said I had hoped would happen in 2023. And, you know, I talked about three projects that I had expected would come out in 2023, and I'm sure we'll get to this in a little bit. Only one of them came out. as expected. But the underlying hope of those three projects coming out was that I wanted my profile in comics to begin to grow more. And I think, despite having only one of my three projects come out this year, that's the in the early stages of happening still.
Well, in some ways it helps that you only had one project come out, honestly, because you can everything gets connected to that on a certain level. And so people kind of think, oh, you know, Linen's a laundromat guy. Like, it's easier to talk like that than it is to talk about three different things on some level. Like, I think maybe it accidentally worked out better in some ways.
I think of use in this conversation is to discuss the idea of what is publicly available, what is personally being worked on, and what is privately available as a resource when you're a professional artist. So I'll make this distinction. If it's publicly available, it's a book out for sale, it's a piece of artwork out for sale, it's some IP that you have in the world that someone could look up, see your name attached to it, and say, oh, that's you, right? Personally available is just stuff that goes in your notebook, that's part of your everyday life. It could be a strength of a relationship, it could be a sudden move to a new house, it could be the loss of a relationship, it could be any of those things that are going on, right? Those personal things. And then privately, there are many professional moves that happen and happened in all of our lives, which we cannot publicly discuss, but are actually enormously impactful. Many things. Lyndon is being very close to his cards with that happened privately that are going to be great. Myself privately going to be great. Jonathan privately going to be great, and Justin also. But we can't really discuss them because they got pushed into the private sphere because of all these other things going on.
Or they're kind of in that middle ground where it's like, it's not that you can't talk about them, but they just aren't out. Like, you and me have done, eight comics, complete comics?
Yeah, at least.
We didn't release and are just sitting there waiting. And at least, there's a chunk of them. We made more iCollector comics than we released.
Yeah, by a long way, yeah.
But we can talk about it, but, yeah. Like, what good is it to talk about on a certain level? You can't get that comic right now.
Yeah.
But you will, and I think that's some of our best work. Like, one thing that's been kind of frustrating to me this year a little bit on some level, though not really, is like I've done my best work this year, but nobody has seen any of it.
Yeah, absolutely true. Okay, you know what I mean? So let's
happen.
Call this portion of the episode the you can allude to it, but you can't name it portion. So anything that you guys want to talk about where we're going to keep it brief so that it isn't like this long, salacious tease, but anything that you think is good, talk about it as much as you can. Share anything that you're proud of that comes from that private section, right? Is there a hidden something that you're proud of that you care to mention in some way for the dear listener's sake to encourage them that things don't always go according to plan?
Well, I already talked about mine, the iCollector stuff that we have been doing in the background. I think when it comes out, like, that's going to blow people's minds. It's some great work.
Well, thanks for saying so. I think you did a good job, too.
Well, like, your art in issue 11 in particular, like that, or was it 11 or 10, the one with
10?
With the maze?
Oh, yeah, 10.
Like, that's amazing.
No pun intended. So, but this isn't... So I'll make a allusion now. So I had mentioned this qualifies as private, like can't really name it too much. I named my collaborator, Kristen Ciccarelli. That project is in orbit, I think of it. It is placed with an agent, can't name it, can't talk about what it's about. The agent is circulating it around, and we got a whole bunch of no's. And those no's are really important because now I know who doesn't want it and we're slowly circling around and who might want it. And those no's increase the profile of the project because every time an agent takes a big work from names much larger than myself, like Kristen's, to a publisher, those people talk and they begin to mention to other people, oh, have you seen the so-and-so project, which is moving around, right? It starts to float around. So that is excruciatingly long, those processes. And so privately, I have this cool thing happening that's in orbit. which I never know if it'll ever find a landing spot. And so I'm proud of that fact, is that we've been getting all these no's, but they're the kind of no's that I could have anticipated. And some of the notes attached to those no's actually are very strongly in favor of this being a really great project that they wish would fit with them, but it's just not part of their publishing profile.
Yeah, and you've also got stuff you can't talk about at all that kind of relates to like crossing the comics film sphere, which is going to be crazy cool.
If we can pull it off.
You know, we'll see.
See, this type of conversation, it feels like a form of teasing.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I said.
Hey,
we're going to keep it short.
Audience, to do, we have this really cool thing that we can't tell you about. But we're going to hint about. I don't like, especially like at cons and stuff, people ask what you
know, this is good. Yeah, talk
you're
about
doing
that.
Next and, yeah. and stuff like that. I don't like saying, oh, this is on the horizon. I can't tell you anything, though.
Right. That's what you're
the NDA
on,
thing
on
you hate.
Level.
What's going on here?
Mind your own business, son.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You've seen too much.
Rather than have this conversation, I would like to, what do you think people are expecting out of us for the next year?
Oh, that's good.
Your audience, the people that see you at shows, that are following you on social media, what do you think they expect out of you in 2024?
I
try to avoid
thinking. I have a
about
dangerous question
completely.
Or dangerous answer to that question, because I tend to not give my audience what they expect. Like when I came out with Automatic Age, they thought, oh, your next thing's going to be a science fiction book. Wasn't, right? Then I did a horror thing. Oh, your next thing must be a horror thing. Wasn't, right? And then the thing after that, right? Did people expect that we would focus on a sword and sorcery project? No. I'm
not
really
like
interested.
You don't have much of a roadmap either. You just kind of like, we organically go where we're pulled and we
That's
work
right.
on what's exciting. So there's not like, there's not really a five-year plan.
Yes. Well, I
no,
mean,
I
do
I
have
mean,
a five-year
plan.
Plan
but,
yeah?
But,
okay.
But things happen. You don't anticipate this person's ready, especially with collaborations. It's like, okay, well, this is back. Now I got to work on that.
Well, yeah. this podcast is evidence that the five-year plan doesn't always work.
Yeah,
well,
it never
no, it
works.
Does work because you can't control other people. Like, even if you can totally control yourself, which I'm not saying I was, but, like, even if you are, you have that. There's so much in art where it's like you have to deal with the thing that's coming at you because now there's an opportunity.
At the risk of using a colonizing perspective, we're sailing. We know the Earth isn't flat. We know it's round. We're sailing towards the horizon every
research.
Day. You pack your ship with everything you think you need when you're going to reach the new world. It's only new to you. Someone's probably already there, right? And that's all you can do. So what you're planning is for the journey. And that's the only thing you can prepare is what you have for the journey. And so what we did last year, if you listen to that episode, we were all packing our ships for the journey.
Yeah.
And we all reached different destinations. And what we unpacked at those destinations, in some cases, was of great use and resulted in some amazing stuff. And in some cases, wasn't.
Like, just to kind of put it in a concrete perspective, like, me and you have kind of had a lot of things derailed by this film project that we're now embroiled in.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we're embroiled in that now, as opposed to doing it later, is because there's a location that's available.
Mm-hmm.
And since the location's available, it's available for this time to this time. So it's like now everything has to be re-engineered around that.
Yeah.
All your other stuff has to go on hold because
or
this
get changed,
is...
Just
that's
shuffled.
Not...
Yeah.
That's just, that kind of stuff happens, right? Like you get, like this opportunity arises, or even just like this person's that you're dealing with is behind.
Right.
So now you're behind, or vice versa. They're ahead, and now you got to be ahead. So like...
Then the comics work I did for Outlast Trial this past year, it had a set deadline when they wanted to release it. So it meant that if I was going to meet that deadline, I had to take personal or private projects, personal issues, and put them aside, right? In order to make this very public thing, which was announced, had a release date, you just have to move towards
that. And I don't know about you guys, but like what was kind of amusing listening back to that episode was I remember I was listening back to it and I was thinking, you know, I remember distinctly what happened with this episode was we recorded it and then a week or two after, everything about all my clients changed completely. Like their entire schedule and everything around the work changed. And I was like, now it wasn't their fault though. The mistake that I made with it was a mistake that I always make, which is that when I make my big master plan, I don't build into the plan this margin of derailment.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if something's going to take you 2 hours, you don't plan to do it within 2 hours. You plan to do it within 3 hours.
So then...
But I don't.
If you're a creative person and you're listening to this and you're saying, oh my gosh, I'm glad I didn't quit my day job because listen to these guys, they can never figure out what the hell is going on. Probably that's true.
On a certain level.
If it terrifies you, if this idea, this notion that no path is clear and predictable, you should not quit your day job and you shouldn't be upset that you have one. You should be thankful, thrilled that you have one. But don't give up on your creative projects. Keep at them. The don't quit. Put the pages down. Put the art in place. It'll become something.
You guys sometimes have moments where you kind of lean towards, like, wouldn't it be nice if there was a 9-to-5 and somebody else figured out everything for me and I could just...
No, never. Absolutely not.
Well, I've been there. I've done that. And it is... There is... So, again... as a creative person, you have that, you have the public, you have the personal, and then you have the, or pardon me, the, yeah, personal and then the private stuff. Your 9-to-5 takes care of a lot of your personal problems, right? But it doesn't leave you much time for any public interaction. You can't go visit a school in the middle of the day. You can't go fly to another city. You can't get a message from a movie producer and drop everything and take the call, wait for them because they missed it, then take it again. You can't do that. So all those opportunities disappear. In fact, it's not even that they're gone. It's that they were never available to you because you were working 9-to-5. And then your private stuff, the stuff you're trying to move on your own, is all you've got. The manuscript in your desk drawer, right? Yeah. The pages that you're drawing on coffee break.
And then that starts to eat away at your sleep cycle, right? And you start maybe stealing from work a little bit and working on stuff when you're not supposed to be working on it. And
if you're a union guy, that's theft of services. So yeah, that's not.
Well, I
not
think
good.
That's just, yeah, time theft. Is.
Everyone nods in this room. Yes, we've all done it. Raise your hand. That. Actually, this is good because we'll be completely exonerated if I don't call you. Raise your hand if you've ever, committed time theft.
That's how I often, like, I credit part of my style is so I could cheat on my graph design work with an illustration project in the same file, and so I had to work on it in Vector. So I could snap back and forth between Castle Mortgage and this alien.
You should have put them together.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Castle.
Well, there is, like, the design firm has some old files that definitely have, like, some xenomorphs tucked in the corner of their logo files.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So one of the things we talked about doing was finishing dead work last year.
Hey.
We took it on the road. It actually spawned, and maybe you can speak to this, Lyndon, it spawned a whole new project as a result of existing. And even though it maybe didn't go quite the way we planned it, the Kickstarter was not like some roaring success, but it was successful enough that we could print the book, fulfill the book, get it in people's hands. Once it existed in its modest way, its real power emerged.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the chase aspect of the book, right? Yeah. So something that we learned this year, 2023, because we did talk about that book at the end of 2022, but something we learned in 2023 was that it's really fun when someone picks up dead work and we can send them to another person's table to have that book signed or drawn in by another artist from the book. And that's become this really fun game at shows that it seems like other creatives are a little bit envious of.
Yeah. Well, and everyone wants to be part of a team.
Yeah.
And even us, even in this room, we are on a team, but you can forget real quick when you're separated by the show floor.
Yeah.
That it was not done in a vacuum and you shouldn't be patting yourself on the back. What you should be doing is like, those guys over there, they're awesome too. Go check them out. I couldn't have done it without them. That's such a great feeling for me to send them on their way.
There are several sacred things in this world that you don't ever mess with. One of them happens to be another man's fries.
All right, let's talk about the biggest failures of the plans we had in 2023. Gregory.
Okay, so my biggest failures was that I was going to, I actually don't know if I mentioned it. I realized I avoided saying it while I was listening. So really? This is a retraction and then an admission at the same time. I, in that episode, talked about how proud I was of this Ninja versus Kaiju story I did with George McHale. And he and I had decided that we would, that year, do a book called Ninja Kill Squad because we loved working on this ninja thing. We scripted it, we thumbnailed it, and then I soundly became overwhelmed with a whole bunch of stuff that was in my personal arena that made it completely impossible to add one more thing. I had plenty of room for one more thing as long as a gigantic family tragedy didn't occur. Turns out it did. Right? So I feel really bad that I let that collaborate. And because my whole thesis was be a good collaborator, that's the one that bothers me the most. It's also the one that my son Finley is constantly asking me about because he thinks it's the coolest. So he's like, when are you working on Ninja Kill Squad? Have you done Ninja Kill Squad? George came to stay with me while we did New York Comic Con. So, of course, they were talking about it a bunch.
Winnipeg Comic Con.
What did I say?
New York Comic Con.
Oh, yeah. You were at New York Comic Con. Right. You had some big adventures there. Winnipeg Comic Con, he came to stay with me, and my son was really, really laying it on thick without meaning to about this cool project that I was supposed to have done. So that feels like a big failure as far as that goes.
Why don't you add to this what your plan is for next year? And we can just kind of, because since we're running through down on time.
Oh, I'm not ready yet to say what I'm going to do next year.
We'll leave Jonathan to go last.
Sure.
The fun part of that, of listening to the episode that we did last year, was that the first thing I say is that I've signed a publishing deal. My book is going to be coming out in previews. You can order it in comic book stores. It'll be out in 2023.
We were so excited for you.
And I now get to follow that up and say that that issue one made it into previews before the entire series got canceled by that publisher. And all of those rights have reverted back to me. So that was my first failure.
That publisher's in trouble, though. It wasn't just you.
Maybe you caused the trouble.
I don't know. I did not bring down that publisher with a thread.
No.
But yeah, I don't think that's not really too much of a personal failure. I think that publisher is going through some things and sent those cancellation emails to probably a lot of creators.
But wait, speak about how that made you feel.
What do you mean how it made me feel?
The one thing you wanted the most that you were so proud of to have happened and then got pulled right out from under you.
That's not the number one thing that I wanted to happen. The number one, it was the first thing I mentioned. The number one thing that I wanted to happen last year that I didn't mention in that podcast is still ongoing, which was the opportunity to pitch to work to larger companies, which I'm still currently doing. So that's a 2024 hope. But this, getting the rights back to There Was Another Life, first of all, it happened the day before my wedding. So I was a little distracted. But even then, and upon reflection, I'm not really disappointed in it, because if a publisher isn't able to support my book, I don't want my book with them.
Yes, good point.
So that's fine. I also had talked about how I hoped Zach Schuster and I's new book, Hero Man, would be coming out in 2023.
And it didn't.
And it didn't. It's coming out now in 2024, knock on wood. No, not doing that to producer Dan. But we had the 20-page teaser issue come out, and now we're going to be traveling in 2024 to Angoulême, France, to participate as part of the Canadian delegation of creatives in the Angoulême Festival de Bande Dessinée, which is essentially the international comics festival that happens in France and is the largest convention in Europe. And I get to promote my new book there, and that's a dream
kind of
in
amazing.
Itself. Yeah. So that, we'll call that failure a win.
Yeah. Not really a failure so much as a change, the path changing right from under you.
So I was kind of thinking about this. I think my failure this last year was I kept lying to myself that doing this many conventions isn't a full-time job in itself.
Mm.
You might think, okay, you do Comic Cons, you're just working the weekend, and then you have the entire week to yourself. This year, I think I did 23 events, maybe 24 events, with one coming up. And I thought I had enough time to work on the book, get prints ready, and maybe take on a couple of clients. And that just became more, it's too many things, like between the logistics and the travel and like the cool down after a show, like I need like a day or two to compress after talking to thousands of people in a weekend.
The mental load was bigger than you thought.
And then not every show is the same, right? Like every table is slightly different, so you need different amounts of backdrop. You need different inventory depending on like what the crowds are. Some shows I have to ship stuff ahead or print in the city. And I always kind of lie to myself that that's not a lot of work. And I've been doing this long enough and I can do it quickly. But doing that 20 some times throughout the year takes a tremendous amount of time and effort and stress, and trying to pile a whole bunch of things on top of the free time in between. I'm deluding myself a little bit. So I think I'm going to be better about that moving forward in the next year and carve out some dedicated plots of land to actually work on the book and not take on as many client projects. And so that was my time mismanagement flub of 2023.
Yeah, I did almost the exact same thing, except that there's a couple other sort of issues involved. But in a broad sense, one of my big thing was I was going to finish my novel project and then get an agent for the novel project. So instead of doing that, I wrote the equivalent of three novels, but scattered across all these different projects, because, you know, I'm just involved right now in too many projects is what it boils down to. But I don't want to cancel these projects, you know, for a lot of reasons.
You and I were talking about, and I think this is speaks to this, how to people outside of this field, telling someone, oh, I've got a novel due to this person, and I have, oh, suddenly I have a film script that I have to get due this week, and oh, I have to get these comics into solicitation.
You're a big deal.
Right? Yeah. You can't present that to most people as a complaint.
No.
Because that is seen as where most people would want to be, and how dare you now present that as if there's some...
The way you put it was perfect, because you were saying to me, like, it's like any one thing is great, but the problem is you're doing them all
at the same time. Yeah. And so it becomes a problem. But so as long as, and I'm very good at compartmentalizing those individual projects, but it can be very difficult sometimes on that personal side, on that personal frontier, to have anything left when you get back. So
yeah. And so anyway, the agent situation, because I didn't finish a novel, I don't have a project that's worth taking to an agent right now. Like all the projects I could take to an agent, I don't want to. And so the ones that I do want to take, it's right now it's a quality control issue in my head. I literally have a completed novel that I could have taken to and gotten an agent with, but I refused to do it. So like on a certain level, I just decided to not do that goal that year.
Keep it in the chamber?
Well, I decided to prioritize my collaborative projects rather than my own projects. And to prioritize my company projects rather than my own projects. Which is fine, except it's not what I had initially planned to do.
Dear John, I'm sorry things didn't work out for us. You're a sweet man, and I'll always love you.
Aww. Do you think you've relied on too many people this past year?
I wouldn't say that, but I just haven't had a system for dealing with all those people. Like, it's been too reactive. Like, this is done, and therefore I'm on that, you know?
I used to think we didn't have enough of a system in place until I heard Lyndon talk about working with some people, and I realized we have a pretty good system in place for getting projects done and
my
managed.
System works great to complete a project. It doesn't work great for my mental health. Because too many things come back to me. I become like a wedge where at a certain point everything's back in with me. Like my problem with my company and how I do things is it's not a true company because I can't leave it. Like I can't go on vacation. I was on vacation, and you know, I'm like it all comes to a standstill at a certain point. Like it all, it can progress to a certain point without me, but then it comes back to me at a certain point, and now it's with me, and now I got to answer this email or tell this person something or whatever, or I just got to do something. And it's like, it's not a true company in that sense where like, I my joke about it is I can't die. Like the problem is I can't die.
Right. The whole idea of being a corporation is that if you die, it carries on. But in this case, if it died, the corporation would die.
So it's closer to where it needs to be. And I feel like a lot of it's working well. It's just, it's not quite at that place I need it to be where it takes, it frees up my time. It's just taking my time. Like it's closer than it was last year. Like I've got more time. And I've been able to be more creative this year and to get more done on that creative side, but it's still, it's just not there yet. And the problem is, you know, I have just have too many things I'm doing and I need to tie some of them up.
Yeah, so speaking to what you were saying, Justin, I think one of the things I'm going to try and do better this year, so this is me speaking to myself a year from now, Gregory, here's what I hope you did better. Professionally, as a writer, illustrator, creative person, you have a public side and a number of relationships related to that, and a private side that leads into getting projects finished, number of relationships related to that. I hope you've prioritized those two things less than the personal layer of your life. I hope that all those personal things that are going on in and around you and your family that are not related to your, you didn't cause those problems, but you can help solve them. I hope you prioritized helping those people solve those problems more than you did working on your career publicly or privately. So if you're listening to this, Gregory, a year from now, and you didn't, whatever's messed up in your personal life is your own fault now. Get your shit together, Gregory. Yeah, right? Help those people. They need your help. What do you have to say to your future selves, gentlemen?
Oh, okay, so this is like 20...
Time capsule.
Right, okay, so end of 2024, Justin. Recognize that your ideas are better than other people's, so stop taking on their projects, because when I do it myself, I tend to make more money and be more fulfilled and less stressed. So let's do more of that, less of trying to help other people with their half put together. The direct opposite. This is why we work well together.
It's perfect. Like two pieces of a puzzle.
I love it.
What you're missing fits.
Well, when I look back at this segment last year, I think I commented on how I was going to be freshly married and how it was time to get back to work. Wedding was great. I hope this time next year I'm in a house that I own instead of an apartment that I don't own.
I mean, I hope you're still married a year from now.
I mean,
not get ahead of yourself.
My wife was on this show. She sounded somewhat supportive.
She did. She does like you a lot. It's weird.
It's weird, yeah. A year from me now, you know, it's so strange because if the dice roll properly, I could have some profile growing projects announced at this time, but all of that is sort of out of my control. It's other people's decision making that it'll come down to, so I can't give myself too much flack if it doesn't happen. I hope in a year all of the projects that I've currently started, which are the next Laundryman book 2, the ending of There Was Another Life, all of those books are finished and have a plan, whether that's they're going to be in another Kickstarter, they're coming out with a new publisher, etc. They have some, they're going somewhere. And I hope that we're enjoying working on Arcbound with Scott Snyder, Tom Hardy, Frank Thierry, and Ryan Smallman.
Dire Beast
too. Oh, well, we didn't talk about Dire Beast. That's a future episode.
Just pick up those names you dropped there.
Hey,
you better than I can't talk about it, but they're really big names.
Yeah. Right? Dan, producer Dan, who has jumped in here. I want you to know, Dan, that Linda should not have to apologize for an accomplishment. All right?
I want to know what Dan wants to have done a year from now, and then Jonathan can go.
Meat House.
Well, I hope to have a first draft done this year, of course. I've been working on this for a while. It's just been, it's a matter of finding the time to dedicate to it. But I really do want to have a It should be finished by next year, this time next year, the script.
Speak to Dan. Not
it
to
will
me.
Be finished.
I don't listen to these, you guys.
Future Dan.
I don't listen to these after
you will
I post
now.
Them.
Future Dan.
No, I'm not going to. You're going to have Meat House done and maybe working on a second idea, second screenplay. That I don't know what it is yet. I've got a couple of different things, but that the idea is to keep writing them just for fun until something happens with it. So,
are you going
to
send it out? Are you going to send Meat House out and around and get it into
I'm
someone's
just
hands?
Send it to Steve. Yes. Yes. See if he wants to do says. Something with it. We'll go from there.
It.
What?
Now his name.
I said his first name. Do you know?
All right, Jonathan.
Well, I already said it. I need to
no,
be
say
in
it
the
to Jonathan.
To have
future Jonathan,
future
1
Jonathan,
year from now.
You need to be able to die. You need to be in a position where at least you could take 1 week off and the whole thing doesn't crash to the ground. How a company should work is if you go on vacation, when you come back, the company works better.
I think that's a good place to end the podcast. Make it so you can't die.
Yeah, you can no, die.
Make can it, die. Can die. Make, it, can make die. It so you can die.
Well, dear listener, this has been Super Pulp Science, where we have less been addressing you as much as usual as we've been addressing ourselves. So in this, we have tried to hold ourselves accountable as we move into the next year. And if you want to take something away from this, if you had a plan that didn't go well, write down the parts of the plan that are still intact, even if they didn't get to be executed, and add them to this year's list. They're still there as assets in your creative adventure as you set sail to some new horizon. This is GMB Kamichuk encouraging you to join the fight and make comics.